Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. And when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. And Father, we just ask you for more of your presence this morning upon all of us, and that we would be able to just understand your passage and hear what you're saying to us today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So whenever I get to do early morning prayer, I decided I'm just going to go through Matthew. And I was actually kind of dreading going through the Beatitudes because I've never really understood it. You know, it's a beautiful passage and people love it. But to me, like for me, I didn't really understand or grasp the meaning of each of the blessings, you know. So I kind of thought, oh man, what am I going to do? How am I going to teach on this? And I always I write down questions in the margin of my Bible. I always say, "What does that mean? What does that mean?" And God was really faithful. You know, yesterday as I was preparing for today's devotional, I felt like God began to answer all these questions that I've had for years about the passage and about the specifics of this passage. I felt like God just kind of began to show me. So praise God. But you know how people always say, pastors, teachers have always say, you need to let the Bible interpret the Bible, you know, or use the Bible to interpret the Bible. And what that means, well, one thing I think what that means is you need to cross-reference the Bible. You guys, so if you are really serious about studying the Bible and really understanding Scripture, I encourage you to get a Bible that has a cross-referencing. And usually what that is in a verse, they will have a letter, like an A, or it'll be a small letter next to a passage. And if you look in the middle column of the Bible, that letter will lead you to another passage in the Bible that has the same kind of stuff. So then you let the Bible interpret the Bible, and it makes more sense to you. And you might end up with a thicker Bible than you have now. But I really encourage you. I think it's a really good tool if you want to study and gain more out of the Bible. But so let's go through this passage. I'm not going to go through all of them because I still have questions about many of the blessed are. But some of the ones that I really felt like God was highlighting to me, I just want to go through them with you. But we start with, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the only thing that I could think of or look at as I was studying this was, you know, Jesus says that about the children. You know, he looks at the children and he takes the children into his lap and he says, don't rebuke the children because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And, you know, children, really they have nothing to give, right? They're really poor if you think about it because they don't really own nothing. Everything they own is their parents. And I haven't really gotten to the significance of that, but think about it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because Jesus talks about the children being the ones that the kingdom of heaven belongs to. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's quite simple, right? Very straightforward. If you're mourning, blessed are you. And if you look at the amplified version of this passage, when Jesus says, blessed are you, he's not just, it's not just a nice thing to say, but he's really talking about this joy that's overflowing, this excitement and this incredible joy that's coming out of you, and the happiness and the peace and all that stuff that comes out. So when he says blessed are you, he's not just making a religious statement. He's really talking about, you know, this is good for you. You should be happy, and there is joy for you, and life-giving joy and peace that's abounding in you when you're going through these things. So when you're mourning, you can be comforted and know that it's okay, because God's going to come with his comfort. And blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. This I want to go back to later. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This one, I believe he's talking about hungering and thirsting for righteousness that comes from God. And if you want to be righteous, in righteous standing with God, you will be satisfied, because God, Jesus has made the way, right, for us to attain that righteousness, which really we cannot do on our own by our strength. But if we trust Jesus, we are given the righteousness of Jesus upon us, so we will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Pretty straightforward. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Actually, this one cross-references to Psalm 24. And you all know this passage where it says, who shall ascend to the mountain of the Lord? You know, who shall stand in the hill of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord? And he says, clean hands and a pure heart, you know, is what's required. And Jesus is really pointing to that passage to say, if you are pure in heart, you'll be able to see God. And in my opinion, I think this is the best one out there. You know, you'll be able to see God. You'll be able to be in relationship with him. You'll be able to see see God face to face. And that's such an awesome thing. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And this one, if you look in other passages that this points to, Jesus is talking about loving your enemies. You know, he says, love your enemies. Do good to your enemies. And if they persecute you or say bad things about you, don't return in evil, but do good. Pray for your enemies and expect nothing in return. And then he says, for then you will be called sons of your Father Most High, because he gives rain to the righteous and the unrighteous, kind of thing. And so when he says, blessed are the peacemakers, really Jesus is challenging us and saying, you know, love your enemies. Do good to the ones that are mean to you and expect nothing in return. That's hard to do. You know, if someone is persecuting you or unrighteously making negative comments about you, and for you to say, that's okay, I'm going to love you anyway and pray for you and expect nothing in return. And then you will be called the Son of God, because God the Father also does that, you know, to all the unrighteous people that blaspheme him and that talk bad about him. God still provides rain for them and the sunshine and just gives grace to them. And Jesus is saying, if you do that, just as the Father God does, then you will be called the Son of God. And then blessed are those who have persecuted you for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. A reward in heaven is great, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's kind of straightforward, right? But I want to go back to verse 5, because this is the one that really puzzled me when I was reading this passage. Blessed are the gentle. And some other versions will say, blessed are the humble, or blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And for a long time, I did not know what that meant. Because, to be honest, I feel like I'm a gentle person, you know? So I was like, yeah, blessed are the gentle, awesome, for they shall inherit the earth. But what does that mean, inherit the earth? Like, I didn't really understand what that meant. So I was like, yeah, I'm really happy because, yeah, I think I kind of am a gentle person. But what does that mean, Lord, that I'm going to inherit the earth? And I was praying, and I wrote the questions down on my Bible. And just last night, when I was preparing, I was able to use the cross-referencing. And it actually leads to Psalm 37. Very famous psalm. I'm sure most of you have read it and had sermons on it. And it actually makes a lot of sense after you read the psalm. So I'm just going to read the whole psalm to you. Maybe not the whole psalm, but I'm just going to read the beginning. It says, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart and their bows will be broken. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. Now, for the arm of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord sustains the righteous." And the rest of the passage kind of goes like in a similar manner. But this passage, especially verse 11, really is what Jesus, I believe Jesus is kind of quoting when he says, "Blessed are the gentle or the humble or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And verse 11 of this psalm says, "But the humble..." And another version of the Bible will say that, "But the meek will inherit the land and they will delight themselves in abundant prosperity." And I've looked at different versions of the Bible just to really understand, to get an understanding. Most versions actually will say they will delight themselves in abundant peace. Abundant peace. And some will say abundant peace and prosperity. And some will say abundant prosperity. And so what does it mean that blessed are, you know, Jesus says, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." I believe Jesus is saying, if you're gentle and humble and meek, God's going to promote you and prosper you on this earth as well as in the eternal life to come, right? But he's saying, because if you look at, there's a few more references to inheriting the earth. And it's talking about the righteous and waiting for the Lord. And, you know, verse 9 says, "Those who wait for the Lord." And meek, I looked up the definition. It's quiet and obedient, not protesting, you know. Quiet and obedient, not protesting. And so if you look at the wicked prospering in this earth, but you choose not to protest and you choose to be quiet and to rest in the Lord and to wait for the Lord and not to make a big scene or to make a big, you know, just get upset about it. But just as this psalm says, just trust in the Lord and do good and wait securely in the Lord. He's going to do it. You know, he's going to be the one that leads you to prosperity. And what I love about verse 11 is will delight themselves not just in prosperity, as in getting rich on this earth, but you will delight in abundant peace. And as P. Sam points out when he's teaching on the Philippians passage, peace is really what we're looking for. Because most people want to be rich, but why do they want to be rich? So that they can enjoy peace. You know, so that they can, when they retire, they're going to have some peace. You know, most people want their kids to go to good schools. Why? Because they can enjoy peace if they go to a good school and are able to get a good job. It's not the job or the college that's the end goal. The end goal, most of the times, is peace and joy. And what God promises is abundant peace and abundant joy as we trust in the Lord and as we are gentle, and we choose to be gentle, right? Pastor Sam said, gentleness is love's humility, and you choose to humble yourself, and you choose not to make yourself known or try to prove yourself or anything like that. And so I was really blessed by that passage, and I think it can speak to a lot of us in the church, you know, because we're quite successful and we're working very hard to be successful and to do a great job at what we're doing, which is great, but also to remember that it's the Lord that really leads us to prosperity and to peace as we trust in Him and as we wait for Him. And I want to go back to the Matthew passage just for one more verse. In verse 12, you know, Jesus says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And I really would believe this verse kind of sums up everything that Jesus is saying. I don't think he was intending to. I mean, this passage really is connected to verse 11. But if you think about it, this whole idea of getting your reward in heaven and rejoicing and being glad because we're awaiting for something that is coming to us after this life is over. Really, that kind of idea goes throughout this whole beatitude. You know, blessed are you when you mourn, because eventually, even if you're not comforted here on this earth, when you are at the end of your life and you enter into the presence of God, you know, you'll be comforted. And even if you choose to be gentle, you choose to be meek, but you don't see the prosperity of the Lord coming to you in this life, we know that, I mean, we have a hope that is eternal, that after this life is over, we're going to be, I mean, eternally prosperous and abundant and overflowing with goodness and joy and peace. You know, for our reward will be great in heaven when this life is over. And so this points to the eternal perspective, right? That our home is not here on this earth, but we're really living for, this is a temporary thing, and we're living for something that is eternal, that is to come after all this is over. So, let's just close our eyes and meditate upon a few of these things. And really just this idea of trusting in Him and letting God be the judge between the wicked and the righteous, and just trusting that He will lead us into His good, into peace and into promotion and prosperity, and also having an eternal perspective.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall, thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall, thought of me above all. Let's pray for our church together. Let's pray for our members of the church that are still looking for a job. Let's pray for God's favor. Let's pray that, you know, that they'll be able to trust God in this time and that they will be able to enjoy the abundant peace that comes from the Lord, and also that God would really put favor upon them so that they'll be able to find something quickly. And not just the ones that are searching for a job, but those that might be struggling or having a hard time in the workplace. Let's pray that they will be able to in this time really trust in God and wait in the Lord, and that God's peace and prosperity will be over them. So let's pray for our church together. I lift up guys like Ben, Juan, and Elke, Lord, that are just struggling with work and struggling, you know, just with fear and not knowing what's going to happen and stuff like that. I just pray, Father, that you would bless them and that you would lead them and that you would speak to them, Lord. And I pray, God, that they will be able to trust in you in this time, Lord, and not fret, God, and not be angry, God, or envious, God, or anxious, God, in this time. But, Lord, that they will be able to be still and wait for the Lord, prosperity comes from you. We'll just come to them and you'll have favor upon them. God, that you'll lead them quickly to a job, Lord. Something that they want, something that they're looking for, God, at this time. Teach them. Oh, Jesus. Let's Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for the Chong family, John and Jane, and their children. Let's pray that God really blesses them in their ministry. Pray for the Basaraba, Steve and Janine Basaraba, and their children. Let's pray that God will continue to just lead them to opportunities and ways they can serve and really be a blessing to China. Pray for Pastor Sam Kim's orphanage up in Chichihar. Let's pray for the parents, who is also a pastor of a church there. And let's pray that God really blesses the children and the family there, and also the orphanage in Fujian. And lastly, my father is currently doing like another conference with his disciples. So if you could really pray for them. He really asked for some serious prayer. So if you could pray for them, just for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that they'll just have a really good time together. So let's pray for China together. Let's pray for the prophetic conference that's going to happen this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let's pray for Pastor Dominic, who's coming from Singapore. And let's just pray that our people will be ready, and that the Holy Spirit will really teach us and show us many new things. And let's also pray for Pastor Dominic, that he would really be able to download from God, and that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will be upon him as he teaches us. So let's pray for the prophetic conference together. Let's pray for the building search together. Lastly, let's pray that God would lead us, and pray for Pastor Sam and Janice Lee and all the other committee members, that God would lead them and speak to them and really guide them in his purpose. So let's pray together for that.
To guide us, we really need you to be
try to hear from you and as they try to operate according to the leading of the Holy Spirit, I pray, God, that they'll be able to just follow you and obey you, Lord, and you would lead them to the best, most perfect building, Father. Dear God, thank you. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy upon us and really rescuing us and saving us, and so that we have a relationship with you. And help us today to really live for you, God. Help us to be salt and light and to be a blessing to those around us. And I just pray for just the real nearness of your presence, God, over us. Today I want to bless everyone here, God, with your peace and your presence and your love and your joy. And we want to just join you in destroying the works of the enemy, God, in this, in our sphere of influence today. And so, yeah, be with us today. We want to really honor you and love you and live for you today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.